Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13. For brethren, ye have not been called unto you, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is a care that we need to have for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for those that are wayward and those that are sinners needing salvation. But if ye, church, and the churches at Galatia, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust or the desire, the drive of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The flesh will get in your way spiritually. May God help us to understand that and see that. The flesh will want to sit home and have church at home. But the Lord's made you a member of a body. You can't have church services at home. You can't do it. And there may, in our household, there's Clarissa and I are saved and members of the church here. And yes, the Lord has said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's fellowship with the Lord. But in the church, we're a body fitly joined together, a house built. And a house ain't much good without a roof, is it? It's not much good without doors. So if ye understand that they're contrary one of those, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, then you are not under the law. And that's talking about salvation. It's not talking about obedience. It's talking about salvation. The law can save no soul. But the law, as our schoolmaster, and talking to some brethren here recently about this, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It shows us that we lack, that we can't have salvation in anything that we can do or trade or provide to God. It's by grace through faith. But then after we're saved and we're on the salvation side of the law, it gives us the understanding about what God thinks about things, doesn't it? It tells us how to obey the Lord. How to obey the Lord. What is pleasing to Him. And that's a message one day, hopefully we get to preach. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're shown forth, which are these. Everybody understands this: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they, their Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This morning we want to take a look at that fruit of the Spirit in verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Gentleness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity and privilege to be able to meet together with your people to worship you, Father. Help us that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us, Father, that you might send us Holy Spirit conviction about those things that you have for us in your word. Lord, that we'd hear you and believe you, trust you and follow you in those things that you say. Lord, where we're wrong, where I'm wrong, Lord, that I'd repent of it before you and get it right with you. Where your people have sinned, Father, that we would see the error of our way and turn from it and turn to you and follow you. For those that are here this morning and not saved, we pray, Father, that you would touch them. Lord, show them their need and their great, the great danger and peril that they are in without Jesus Christ as Savior. And Lord, visit them with your Holy Spirit and save them. Grant them repentance and faith, Father, that they might come to you as you command. We pray that you might bless and work in it. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, gentleness, but the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And you notice there in the scripture that That word goodness is right after that. And it's hard to take a look at gentleness and goodness and take them apart. We're going to try to do that this morning. But it is so that there is a connection between them. We remind you in our message of these messages that we've preached that in Matthew, the Lord says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Beware of sheep's with a wolves with costumes on. It says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, figs of thistles?" And he tells and talks about different trees. But an apple tree brings forth apples, doesn't it? It's just the way that it is. And one that's saved is going to bring forth spiritual fruit. He goes on in that passage in verse 19 saying, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, needs to be and will be manifested in the disciples of the Lord's lives. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." We that are saved, as an apostle wrote to that church at Rome, he said, you've been saved by the Lord. You've got the Spirit of God living within, the earnest of the Spirit, as the Scripture says. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, is it so? Is it so that the Spirit of God lives within? Not a profession of Christ, but a real day-to-day walk with Christ. A profession is just the mechanics of letting it be known. A profession is not salvation. A salvation is a visitation by the Holy Spirit of God showing a sinner that they're guilty, they're damned, they're condemned before God, and their only hope is Jesus. Seeing that Jesus is their only hope, they say, "Yes, Lord, to whatever you say. Yes, Lord, I believe, I trust in what you did." Not what I've done, not what I can do, not what I can promise, not in any reformation that I can accomplish. I'll just quit sinning. I think there's a load of folks in the world today that just say, "Well, I'll just quit sinning from here on out," and thinking that that's salvation. That's not salvation. That's reformation. Salvation doesn't work from the outside in. It comes by grace through faith and believing and trusting in Jesus Christ and what he did. It's a change. It's a change. And it'll bear forth fruit. It'll be that spring of water that the Lord promised, welling up with inside that saved sinner. Bubbling up. It's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. I'm happy. Since the Lord's visited me and made me whole, I'm touched by God, blessed, saved by him. But it says there in Romans, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that it's true that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That's what the Lord said, not me. Got the Spirit of God living within you? Got the Lord living within? Brother Jim, I want to know that I do. Ask the Lord about it. Amen. Ask him. The Lord says in Matthew, he says, if daddies know how to give good gifts to their children when their children come asking for food and they don't give them snakes and scorpions in return, how much better is God Almighty, who is righteous, who is right, who's great and wonderful and perfect, not give good gifts to those that come and ask him? It goes on to say that will he not give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Salvation? Salvation? But you got to be a sinner first. Because that's the kind that the Lord came to save, is sinners and disobedient. Not self-righteous. Not those hanging on to a heritage. Not those hanging on to even the posterity, the heritage of their family. Those that have gone before them, their parents, their grandparents. No, salvation is not in any other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and him alone. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And so we need to take a look and ask, do we have the Spirit living within? Do we bear the fruit of the Spirit? Gentleness. And this word gentleness, if we take a look in the language of the scripture, the Greek, and take a look at this. This particular word, it's only translated in this one place as gentleness. Synonyms in other places where it's used that we'll read in the scriptures are goodness, kindness, or the word good. It seems that gentleness here is talking about that goodness expressed or extended to others. Gentleness. Being kind. Being good. Being helpful. Being gentle. And so, Brother Jim, how can we know what that is? Well, as we've taken a look, we've just go to the scriptures and see about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can take a look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and understand how these fruit are, but strictly by example, by his example. But first we want to consider, in Romans chapter 3, what do we have naturally? We always want to take a look at that. What is it that we have naturally? What is it that God tells us here? And I want you to keep your place there in Galatians 5 so you can turn back to that easily if need be. But in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, listen to what the scripture says. This is God speaking. This is not me. This is the Lord. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, as it is written over there in the Psalms, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That word good is that same word gentleness over there in Galatians chapter 5. Same word. There's none. Man and mankind, we in and of ourselves, we have no capacity for spiritual gentleness. It's not in us. It's not in us. Oh, yes, in the world, folks are kind one to another and gracious. And any moral value that any man, woman, boy, or girl has learned or been taught is because of the scripture and because of God, because of the direction of God. It's just that way. But to have true divine spiritual gentleness, goodness, kindness, we ain't got it. The Lord says there's not a one of us that has it. There's not a one of us that has it. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God not living within a soul, generally there's always motive. There's a motive behind what sinners do. There's a reason for it. But the gentleness, the goodness, the kindness of the Lord, it's just that. It has no hooks with it. It has no strings attached. It's not that way amongst men. And that's really all there is to say about it. Man has no gentleness or goodness naturally. But we think about the Lord and his life, and we think about the accounts in the Gospels, and I just want you to consider about these. In Matthew, where the Lord went forth and saw the multitude, and the scripture says he was moved towards compassion with them and healed their sick. He was gentle, wasn't he? He was gentle. He was gentle as he looked on. Further on in Matthew, it says that he talked to his disciples and he had compassion on the multitude because they've been with him so long they haven't had anything to eat. He was gentle and he provided sustenance for them so they could eat. He was gentle. He was kind unto them. Having power and ability, he took a few fishes and a little dab of bread and fed a whole lot of people, didn't he? Taking his power and his glory and his ability and taking it and using it to be kind, to be gentle, to be loving. In Mark, it tells us about how the leper came to him and said, if you can make me clean, you can. If you will, you can make me clean. I know you can. All you've got to do is want to. And it says that the Lord was moved with compassion and reached forth his hand and did something that was illegal to the law. He touched him, and he made him whole. He was gentle to him, wasn't he? He didn't chide him. He didn't rail on him. He didn't say, get away from me, you nasty leper. But he said unto him, I will be thou clean. Over on, continuing on to Mark, it says the Lord was dealing with the demoniac there at Gadara. That man that was there running around in the tombs, naked, screaming, hollering, cutting himself on the rocks, couldn't be bound with fetters, couldn't be bound with chains. And the Lord cast that demon, that those demons out of him. Legion. There were many. He cast them out. And they came, the folks came from the town, they saw him there clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing the Lord teach. And then loaded up in the boat to go on over to the other side. And he said, I want to go with you. And he said, no. He said, no, I want you to stay here. And I want you to tell your friends and your kin and the inhabitants of where you used to live or where you live. Tell them about it. The Lord was gentle to that man, wasn't he? He was kind. It says that the Lord looked on at other multitudes and he had compassion towards them because they were as a sheep, not having a shepherd, no leadership, no guidance, no understanding of things eternal, no understanding of things spiritual. They were just meandering and wandering about through this physical life, heading towards hell. And the Lord had compassion on them and taught them and spoke to them and dealt with them. He taught them many things, it says. The man that came to the Lord and said, he actually came to the disciples first while the Lord was on the Mount of Transfiguration. After the Lord came down, he came to the Lord when he saw him, and he said, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything with this demon. My son's a lunatic. This demon that's in him, he cast him into the fire, and he cast him in the water. He's tried to kill him ever since this demon has come upon him. And if thou can do anything, have compassion on us. And the Lord was gentle to him, wasn't he? He talked to him. He spoke to him about how long it had been and how long it had been that this demon had been in his son. And he told him, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. The Lord was gentle to him, wasn't he? And he was kind and gracious to him and his son. And we go on and we see the woman at Nain as they're carrying out her only son. She's a widow, and this was her only son. And they're carrying out her son out to bury him. And the Lord looked upon the woman, and he was filled with compassion for her. And he stopped the bier. He said those that were bearing the body, said he stopped them. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. He was gentle, wasn't he? He was kind. He was merciful unto that woman and even to her son. Jairus, when he came and met the Lord after the Lord came back from Gadara, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and he said, come to my house, my daughter, my only daughter, 12 years old, she's going to die. This is a man that's a ruler of the synagogue. And the Lord goes with him. And the Lord raises her from the dead because they get word that the girl has died. The Lord takes the time and goes with the man to his house. And even though the messenger's been sent saying, trouble not the master, she's dead already, the Lord goes on and says, believe, believe. And he raises her from the dead. Think about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You remember their account. Think about the woman at the well at Sychar in John chapter 4. The Lord was gentle, wasn't he? He took her to her need. He told her about her sin. He told her about those husbands that she had and that one that she was shacking up with even then. But the Lord dealt with her and took her to where her need was. She wanted to talk about politics, where to worship, who's right about religion, all this kind of stuff. But the Lord was gentle, wasn't he? He was gentle to her. And then the woman that was taken in adultery, quote unquote, they didn't bring the man, but they sure brought the woman. They cast her down there at Jesus' feet, and he doesn't say a word. He just starts writing on the ground. Don't you wonder what he wrote on the ground? I think he started writing about the law, and he started writing about accusations being brought up against those committing adultery and how the man and the woman should be brought. That's what I think. I wonder about. But after the Lord dealt with those men that brought her, and they went out from the eldest to the youngest, he says, woman, where are those thine accusers? And she said, there isn't any, Lord. That's the key. She was saved. The Lord saved her. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He was gentle to her, wasn't he? He was kind. He was gracious. Oh, the care of the Lord for his church before his death. The gentleness that he exhibited. We've looked at that here recently, how it was the Lord has great care for his church. Even within 24 hours of knowing that he's going to be hanging and he's going to give his life on the cross, he's caring and teaching and dealing with his church. He tells them the truth. He tells them things that are going to come to pass. He is gentle with them. There's another aspect of the Lord's gentleness. And you that are here and not saved, I want you to listen to this. And it's good for all of us to realize and understand, but consider the gentleness of the Lord and the calling by his word. The call of the Lord by his word and his gentleness in that. You know, the Lord didn't come and say after Adam had sinned and just went ahead and gave life to everybody that he was going to create and just have us all there in one big multi-trillion person gang and say, okay, you pack of sinners, I'm going to give my son as Savior. Who of you is going to believe and who of you not? And those that would believe would go over here to the right, and those that would not believe would go over here to the left, and he'd take those on the left and damn them to hell in the lake of fire and take those who are saved on to be with him. He didn't do that, did he? He could have. He'd have been right in doing so, and he'd have been right in killing us all. But you know what the Lord did? That what the Lord tells us about Adam being created and the Lord forming him from the dust of the ground and breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, made in the image and likeness of God. There is weight to that, folks. We're not dogs. We're not cows. We're not birds. We're not snakes. We're not alligators. Even though mankind may behave like animals at times, we are made in the image and likeness of God, and there's a responsibility that goes with that. That responsibility is, folks, that every minute of our existence, every second of our existence should be and is intended by God to bring honor and glory to his name. That's the purpose. We have been made in the image and likeness of God to glorify our Creator. And the Lord could have done that. He could have just given life after Adam sinned. He could have given life to everybody he was going to create and give life to and just proclaim the gospel there once. And those that would believe, believe, and those that wouldn't, and then just ended it and been done with it. He could have done that if he'd have chose to do so. But he didn't, did he? He didn't. He's given us life. He's given us life. He's given us the opportunity to experience the goodness of his good green earth, hadn't he? The wonder of his creation, the blessing of family, and the blessing to be able to move and operate. Solomon writes about it. He says, it's good for a man to enjoy his work, enjoy his family, enjoy and rejoice in the blessing of the Lord. It's good for a man to do that. Why? Because it's his portion, and it's what God gives to him. He's given us life. The only man that God says that it would have been good that he hadn't been born is the son of perdition. You hear that? Even though a sinner might reject God for their entire life, and in that rejection and then their lack of trusting and having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, but live and go out into eternity damned to hell, the Lord blessed them with living and life and exposure to God. That's right. That life and existence is a blessing from God. Amen. And in that, he is gentle to us. The Lord says in Psalms 138, take a look over here. In this life that he's given us and in this existence that he has given us, even in the eternal the eternalness of our existence, the the eternality of the soul, if you will, because when the Lord makes a soul, that soul is going to live forever somewhere. It's a blessing from God to be given life. Like I said, there's only one in the scripture that it's accounted that the Lord says it'd be better that they hadn't been born. But in this life that he's given us, and the blessing of experiencing life, he sends his word. And in Psalms 138, the scripture says in verse number one, I will praise thee with my whole heart, David says, before the gods or the authorities will I sing unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. I'm going to praise your name because, Lord, you tell the truth always. You've revealed your truth unto me, and I praise your name for it. Listen to what he says. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You have taken your renown, your prestige, your glory, your greatness, your majesty, and you have taken your word and you've put it up higher than that. Why? Because the Lord's gentle. The Lord wants his creation to hear. You hear? The Lord wants his creation to hear. To hear him. He's taken his word and he's putting it up above his name. And he wants sinners to hear. Isaiah 55, you're familiar with this. The Lord has given us life. And one time around, right? On this earth, no reincarnation, no cycle of life, circle of life, no. There's one round that's made. A soul created and intended by God in eternity, brought to pass on this earth in time, in whatever way that he chose to give life. And then after the death of the body, on to eternity. In the lake of fire, or with the Lord, forever and ever and ever. But during the time of this life, the Lord has magnified his word, and he's given his word. And he says here in Isaiah 55, verse number 10, listen to the gentleness of the Lord. And that the long-suffering, we've taken a look at the long-suffering of the Lord, and all these are so intertwined there together. But in Isaiah 55, verse number 8, he says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, just the way things grow, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, because of his word. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you with singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The Lord gives life. And then he sends his word. And he says, I created you. I've given you life. You're a sinner. And in yourself, you've got no hope. Isn't that what the Word does? The Word of God tells that. He tells where we come from. He tells who created us. He tells who we belong to. He said, you've got to give an answer to me. You're going to stand before me one day and give an account. In and of yourself, you have no hope. He tells us that. His Word comes to us. Speaks to us the truth, doesn't it? Speaks to us gently. It could be that the Lord had ordained it that at 2 p.m. every day, angels in heaven would have been screaming and shouting the gospel of God from heaven every day for the entire existence of the world, couldn't it? He could have done it that way, couldn't he? And it could be so terrible and so loud. It could have been that the Lord would have some sign appear in heaven, likened to there at Sinai when the mountain trembled and shook and the lightning and the smoke and all that, to where it would have been just a fearful thing every day for us to hear and see. He could have done that, couldn't he? But instead, he sent his prophets, and he inspired his word, and he put it together in a book, and he speaks to us gently and says, hear it and believe it. That's what I want you to do. I want you to hear it and believe it. The gentleness of the Lord. In Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God. The gentleness of the Lord in dealing with us in that still small voice of his word, the still small voice of the Spirit speaking to sinners about their need. Gentleness. Gentleness. In Romans chapter 10, in Romans 10, I refer to that. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came, and at the beginning of his ministry, it says there in Mark chapter 1, and it says, the saying, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. 16 times in the New Testament, the Lord says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Have you got an ear to hear? Can you hear it? Is the Lord calling you? Is the Lord speaking to you? The Lord 25 times in the Gospel of John says, verily, verily, I say unto you. When the Lord says that, it's very, very important. You can't do without it. 25 times in the Gospel of John, the Lord during his ministry said, verily, verily, I say unto you. To you. Not to us, but to you as an individual. To you as individuals, the Lord said, I'm speaking it to you. Will you hear? The Lord dealing with us with his word. You know what? There's a gentleness in that he came in the first place, isn't it? Look in Titus chapter 3. That the Lord even came in the first place is a wonderful, gentle thing. And this tells us this right here. In Titus chapter 3, verse number 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities. As the Apostle Paul writes to Titus, there as he deals with the folks that he's to minister to, and powers, and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the works of the flesh, isn't it? But listen to this next verse. But after that, the kindness, same word in Galatians chapter 5, gentleness. After that, the gentleness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God, the Lord, has been gentle to us, and that Christ even came. That he even came to this earth. That he even became a man so he could be a sacrifice meat for men. He's been gentle to us. Like I said, he could have had the whole herd up there and just proclaimed it from heaven once and let that be it. But he's given us life. He's created us in the image and likeness of him. We bear his part of his glory in us in the way that we are made. And then he gives us this existence and the blessings that abound even for sinners in life, family, and friendship, and ability, and prosperity, and the ability to work, and the ability just to enjoy his creation. And he brings his word. And then he sent his son. He's been gentle to us. He has been gentle to us. Has he been gentle to you? He has. Indeed, he has. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." He was shown forth. Jesus Christ was shown forth in the flesh for us. For you. He was gentle, wasn't he? He was gentle unto us. The Lord is gentle in that he included the Gentiles. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And a whole message can be preached right here in this passage. But in verse number 17, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not thyself against the branches, or against Israel, or the Jews. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root bear thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, those branches were broken off of the Lord. And thou standest by faith, but be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee." Verse 22. "Behold therefore the goodness," gentleness, in Galatians chapter 5, same word, "and severity of God on them which fell severity." They were cut off because of disobedience, because of their waywardness, because of going against what God had commanded, going against his law, going against what he ordered. "But toward thee, gentleness," goodness. There it is again. "If thou continue in his gentleness," will we obey him? Will we believe him? Will we trust him? "Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off." The gentleness of the Lord in that he included the Gentiles. He didn't have to, but he was pleased to do so. And then that his gentleness will go on into eternity. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. The gentleness of the Lord. So much to be said and so little time to be able to say it. But the Lord was gentle in those that he dealt with in his ministry. As we saw, he's gentle in the aspect of he gives the call of his word and delivering his word to us and giving us life and sending his word. The gentleness that the Lord expressed in that he came and became a man. The gentleness that he has included the Gentiles. And then we see it here again in Ephesians chapter 2. I just love this part. "And he's quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins." We love those verses. We were following after the way of the world and all that. Verse number 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us," Ephesians 2:5, "even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Listen, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his gentleness," same word, kindness, "toward us through Christ Jesus." He's been gentle to us in creating us. He's been gentle to us. He was gentle in his ministry. He's been gentle to us in creating us and giving us life. He's been gentle in sending his word. He's been gentle in including the Gentiles. He's been gentle in that he came and became a man to be a Savior. And his gentleness, his kindness, his goodness expressed to us will go on through eternity. Amen. May the Lord help us to see it and be forefront before us, before our eyes. The Lord challenges us to be gentle and kind the way that He is. And I ask, do we manifest that fruit of gentleness, that fruit of the Spirit like the Lord has to others? There's some other things we want to say about that. We don't have time to do it, but next time we'll plan to do so. But to you that are this morning that are here and not saved, the Lord commands, as it says in Acts chapter 20, and we testified ourselves and witness of it to all men, that men need to repent towards God and have faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're here this morning without the Lord as your Savior, that's what you need to do. That's what you're commanded to do, is repent and trust in the Lord. In Romans chapter 2, let's take a look over there. In Romans chapter 2, and we've read this passage before, but it includes so much of this fruit of the Spirit in the midst of this passage. And if you're not saved, listen to this. Because of those things said in Romans chapter 1, the apostle goes on and says in chapter 2 and verse number 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, because you can't point at anybody else and blame them for your sin. It's yours. You can't get yourself higher up with God by crawling up on somebody else's back. Can't do it. We stand as individuals before God. And in and of ourselves, we've got nothing that God wants. We need Christ. We need Christ in our hearts, in our souls. We need Him as Savior. We need the Spirit of God living within. We need to be rescued by Him. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. Sinners, disobedient to the law and instruction and truth of the Lord. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? God won't let you divert your wickedness because of the wickedness of another man. But listen in verse 4. Or do you despise thou the riches of His gentleness, goodness? There it is again. Do you despise the riches of His goodness, His gentleness, and sending His word to you, sending the witness of your kin to you, sending the witness of Jesus Christ and the gospel through a friend to you, through a preacher to you, through a church to you? You despise that? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, His gentleness, and forbearance, and long-suffering? As we've seen, He's given you time to hear His word and see that the Savior came for you. Did He? Do you hear it? Can you believe it? Can you trust in the Lord? Can you cry out unto God for mercy, that He would save your wretched, sinful soul? Because you're condemned, because you're on your way to hell, because the condemnation of your sin rests squarely on your head, and you need a Savior. Will you hear it? Or despisest thou the riches of His gentleness, His goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness, there it is again, but it's a different word, of God leadeth thee to repentance? He gives you time. He sent His word. Will you hear it? It's the only way. It's the only way that sinners can be saved. It's through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Luke chapter 15. Gentleness. You know, in considering about the message and praying about it and asking for the Lord's leadership in it, I'm so thankful that He brought this passage to mind, because it really speaks about the Lord's love and care for sinners and the way that He does work and save. Amen. It portrays the gentleness, and you'll see this here as we read this passage. And the Lord, I never had seen it before this way. But if you're here this morning and you're not saved, listen. Listen to how the Lord loves sinners. Here in Luke chapter 15, verse number 1, then drew in Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. That's the right crowd. That's my crowd, because I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And He visited me in 1987 and saved my wretched soul. he was gentle to me. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's right, because they need him. Righteous men don't need him. Righteous women don't need him. But sinners need him. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He said, that's the way we do. That's the way you'll do. You got 100 and you're missing one. You'll go looking for the one. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He don't throw a rope around it and drag it home. He doesn't take it and he doesn't kick it home. But he takes that one that was lost, that he went out looking for, that he spoke to, that as the passage in John chapter 10, isn't it, tells us that the Lord's sheep know his voice and hear his call. They won't go with the stranger. But they know his voice, and he knows them, and he knows them by name. And when he found him, he took him, and he put him up on his shoulders, and he carried him. Isn't that gentleness? Oh, isn't that gentleness? And what's it say? He came fussing, griping, carrying on and angry at the sheep. Is that what it says? No, he came rejoicing, didn't he? He came rejoicing because the passage goes on to say, in heaven there's rejoicing like that over one sinner that repents. The gentleness of the Lord. Do you see it? Do you hear him? Is he calling you? Don't let pride, don't let vainglory of man, the pride of life, shame over admitting that you're lost and that you need to be saved. Don't let those things come in. Get honest with God. He already knows you better than you know yourself. Repent. Trust in him. For we that are saved, do we exhibit the fruit of gentleness like the Lord does? May the Lord help us.